to the Creation Gospel with Dr. Halissa Elwine. Join us around our Shabbat dining table as we explore the Torah portion.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Good to have you here. And if you'll notice, we had some special guests today. We had some musicians that some of you might be familiar with. I'd say probably a lot of you are familiar with them. They go by Mishkanim, and it's Howie and Aline George. And so they're going to be sitting in with us here in just a few minutes, and we'll visit a little bit, see what's going on with them, see what they have planned. Maybe we might talk them into even playing a song or two for us. So if you've got somebody that's out there wandering around right now, then invite them to come on in. We've got special guests today. And then we can go back and we can talk a little bit more about the Wars of Kings. Of course, we know that that corresponds to the 10 plagues. And these are the 10 tactics that are taught in the Torah when you're going to lay siege to a city. And what we've been trying to do is say, okay, in our generation, we don't know if we're the last generation or not. Who does really know that? But each generation has to be prepared. And I think if we prepare as though we are the last generation, then we won't let, I guess we're calling it the hell bug, the bug out of Abaddon. We won't let him cut off the root and the fruit, because that's the way that bug works. And more than ever, it's like every week when we look at the news, and we don't want to obsess over the news, but we do need to know our times. And we can see that the two tactics of the hell bug, basically, remember, there's two steps to how he works. And remember, even though he's under the command of the king of Abaddon, well, who is the king of Abaddon under the command of? His creator. He has to do what his creator says. And if he's summoning forth these strange soldiers out of Sheol, then it's for a specific purpose. And it's not to cause anxiety. It's not to cause us confusion. It's not to cause us to cut off the next generation. Instead, it's for us to build them up. Instead, it's for us to teach them truth so that they won't be deceived by all the confusion. Because remember, two steps. The first thing he does is he blinds, he causes confusion, he causes anxiety, he causes worry. And that's not designed to kill you at first. Remember, it's 5 months of torment. But the first objective is not to kill you. It's to torment you, and if possible, to bring you to repentance. So we're not talking about, you know, there's different kinds of people. There are people who are trying to walk in the righteousness of Yeshua. There are people who will never walk in the righteousness of Yeshua. And there's the in-betweens. And he doesn't even want the in-betweens. He doesn't want them to perish. And as we approach the high holidays, this is the time where the Spirit's contending with us. It's showing us those things that need to change. And if we're feeling confusion and anxiety, we just have to go to the Father and say, point out to me where I'm messing up here. Point out to me what I've not given up to you so that I won't be confused anymore. And then the next step, remember, it says he cuts off the root and the fruit. That was the pattern in the Torah, in the time of Moses, even in the time of Joshua. When this hell bug was unleashed, the last thing he did was cut off the root and the fruit. We definitely see that in our generation. Once he blinds and confuses the first generation, then it's very easy to separate them from the next generation. And I don't think it's any accident. Remember when we were studying what Rashi said about the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn, and how it's thought that the firstborn of Egypt, they knew Moses wasn't kidding, that they were really going to die. Everything Moses said was true. It was going to happen. And they went to their fathers and they begged their fathers to go to the Pharaoh, go to the government, intercede for us, intercede for our generation. You're about to lose a generation. And the fathers would not go. And they said that night that many of the firstborn fell upon their own parents. They tried to destroy their own parents for not interceding for them. And so now when you look at the headlines, like where these children have been manipulated by the government, by public schools, and been talked into doing things, self-mutilation, and then they outgrow that phase and they realize, wow, why didn't my parents stand up for me? Why didn't my parents intercede for me? Why didn't my teachers intercede for me? Why didn't my principals go to bat here? Why didn't somebody speak some common sense? Mm-hmm. And you can see why they would be angry with our generation. You could see why they would be rebellious, because it's been a very targeted way of cutting off the root and the fruit. And it's the result of this confusion. And so that's why we have to depend more than ever on the word. And so we'll come back to that. But that's where we left off last week. But we've got some better news than the hell bugs right now. We'll get back to the hell bugs. But I want to introduce, you know these guys, I'm sure, if you've watched the Revive videos and you've seen them at conferences. They may have even come to your fellowship or to your congregation. So welcome, Howie. And is it Aline?
Or Aline.
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 Aline. All right.
Really French name.
French?
Yes.
I got a French bulldog.
Yeah.
Actually, I got three.
Does he French?
I got three.
I'll come over and talk to him later.
They speak, but not really in French.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll never hear them, you know, sing a victory song, but they're pretty smart. They're pretty smart. And so we're glad to have you guys today. You came and led praise and worship for us today here at the Olive Branch, and we appreciate that. We're in such a out of the way, even though we're right off an interstate, you know, as far as people going back and forth, we're kind of out of the loop up here. Mm-hmm. And we are in the middle of Daniel Boone National Forest, which it's great. You walk outside. It's beautiful outside.
It is beautiful. The drive up here was beautiful.
Yeah.
And of course, we call it the first church of the recreation. It's right up the street. And so all these, what do you call them? Not races.
Oh, ATVs.
ATVs.
Oh, yeah. We saw that.
Yeah.
They're running the roads all day on Shabbat. And I can't wait till Yeshua comes because we just have to, 24 hours, we got to get that corrected. And I'll probably be out there with them learning how to drive one of those.
Yeah, ATV is fun. Some people took us recently in Colorado.
Did they?
Yeah, it was great.
It was terrifying.
Well, down in the Arava.
When he drives, it's terrifying.
Husbands can relate to this.
I didn't drive.
You didn't drive?
No, I just held on.
Okay. Do you have a helmet?
No. It was like a buggy, so it had this roll bar and stuff on it. Yeah,
it actually rolled at one point. It was pretty scary.
That was pretty.
If you go down to the Arava at Tamar, there's a moshav there called Ein Yahav, and there's a guy out there who has, they call them razors in Israel.
Oh yeah,
and he's got all sorts of motorcycles, dirt bikes, razors, and he could take you out in the desert, but he won't let you do anything fun.
Oh, well, I would like that.
I like
seeing stuff, but I don't want to be flipping around upside down.
Four of us went out there and it was just like creeping, you know, and Keisha was driving, Keisha Gallagher, you guys know Keisha. Mm. And we were coming back and finally we got fairly close to the moshav and the guy's on the dirt bike. He pulls up beside us, says, okay, now if you'd like to go a little faster, you may. And Keisha took off so fast. When I looked back, all I could see was a cloud of sand. Mm. And the guy was sitting there and I was like, oh no, he's going to be so mad.
Right.
But she had these big Mad Max goggles on. So yeah, we had a big time.
Wow.
But, you know, we just got to get them, you know, moved over a little bit, 24 hours. So they'll start doing this stuff on Sunday instead of Shabbat.
That's it. Oh, yeah. It was Shabbat. Yeah. We drove by and we're like, oh, look what they're doing on their Shabbat.
Yeah, they're running around full.
Yeah, exactly.
Labor Day weekend.
Of course,
big toys, lots of toys.
Get to think of these American holidays.
Well, tell me a little bit about what you guys have been doing.
Well, we've been traveling around. I mean, we've been living in Florida, Southwest Florida. But the last few months up in Northeast Tennessee, so same mountains, Appalachian Mountains, which has been great. A lot of good stuff. Doing a lot of worship there with hosting worship gatherings. Just started a new outreach as well, which has been really exciting because we feel, you know, we want to establish tabernacles of praise where it's kind of free worship. I mean, I know obviously we played earlier with microphones and stuff, but we love it where it's just totally open and you're just really, anyone can speak and share and sing
a song,
a lot of spontaneous songs, and then
which leads to a nice deep place in the spirit where intercession happens and people begin to pray and people begin to be released in things that maybe you don't get a chance to do in a shorter corporate meeting, you know, because maybe the worship goes on for 2 or 3 hours and mm-hmm. there's time for people to feel comfortable mm-hmm. about releasing whatever it is that's, you know, in their spirit.
Yeah. So it sounds very coffee house.
Yeah. It is.
You guys aren't old enough to remember that. I know.
No, we love coffee. I love coffee house ministry. We do that in Israel.
We do that in Israel, actually. Yeah.
It's just more casual, you know, somewhat covert and just casual.
Touch of the sofa, you know.
You don't feel pressured, you know, underground. To make anything happen. You just really worship the King, and what happens, happens.
Yeah.
And people are open to flowing with that, and they get released in giftings that sometimes you don't always see.
Mm. And I like how it's not all about the worship leaders. You know, sometimes we get into an audience mentality of, you know, they're doing it on stage and it's all about them. But when you take the mics away and it's more sort of laid back, it's like everyone realizes that they're a crucial part. Well, that's what we try and encourage people from the youngest to the oldest. So, you know, we've had lately kids age 9 and 11.
I know, how he's teaching kids guitar, but he's teaching them through the vessel of worship. So they're worshiping and he's teaching as they worship, and then they just join in our worship session, and you know, they learn so fast and they're so sensitive and they're just right in it and right on it, and it's not this grueling kind of theory, music theory. It's get in the spirit.
Sure.
And they pick it up fast and they flow with what he's doing. And
oh, they're amazing.
They are amazing.
They couldn't play one chord on the guitar, and then by the end of the first hour, they were singing Amazing Grace really nicely on their own and
playing it on the guitar as well.
So hey, the
and how old are they?
9.
She's 12.
9 and 11. Well, she's actually 11.
She's
9, 11.
Yeah.
And
they have their little guitars and their little backpack.
They're worshipers.
It's so important because, you know, we've Hebrew Roots is so scattered. It's not like you can go down to your local Hebrew Roots congregation in those places and find people of like kind and like mind. And then even if you do, you find out, well, we're a little not like-minded on this and this and this. And there's a lot of scattering still. But I think what the world lost, and it seemed like COVID made it worse, is we've lost the face-to-face and we do have more programmed sort of things. We're satisfied with sitting at home. Like I heard recently that some of these big businesses can't get their employees back to work anymore. Right. They want to work from home.
Yeah.
They don't want to be around people they don't want to be around. And we really have, and the building we bought down in Mississippi, we got so cheap because it was a church that didn't want to go back to church after COVID.
There's probably dozens and dozens around the country that people aren't.
I hate to say we got it for a song, but song and a dance. But we're like, we could renovate this into a 3-bedroom, 2-bath hospitality house for the price that we're paying.
Right.
But I think that disconnect, it kind of goes back to what we've been talking about in the classes, the hell bug. The way scripture describes is first it confuses, it brings anxiety, and then eventually the goal, it brings you to a place where it can separate the generations. It separates people. The 10th plague that, you know, we're talking about the darkness. I mean, not that was the firstborn, the plague of darkness. It said for the Egyptians, one could not see his brother. That's significant.
Because of the darkness.
That's they could point. Not see their brother. They say it could have even been describing the depths of what we would say is clinical depression. Because if you've ever tried to talk to somebody that's in the depths of a clinical depression, it's like they can't hear you.
Yeah.
You're trying to exercise logic and reason. Like you've got so much to live for. You've got so many gifts. You've got family that care about you. And it's like, there's nothing right there. And it seems like more and more we're disconnected, but trying to bring people back to a face-to-face experience, because the spirit does move in those spaces. And I think that's important for the next generation that doesn't remember coffee houses.
It's so relational and so intimate. And you sit there and you talk about why you wrote that song, and you play the song, and you know, people respond to the emotion of your song.
Yeah,
it's very personal.
It's a relationship, and it's connecting
we are of the generation that didn't have, I mean, I didn't grow up with a phone. I didn't grow up with a computer. I didn't, I mean, you know, this kind of phone, what do you call it?
Landline.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, we didn't have all the things that we have now. Yeah. So we do have memory in our brains of not having been, you know, device oriented. Mm-hmm. And we do crave it as well. You know, we crave it. Every human, I think, craves it. But we crave it because we didn't grow up with that. And
we're
panim, you know, we're face-to-face people, right? You know,
yeah. When you were saying that, I was thinking of that Beatles song, you know, oh, look at all the lonely people. See, that's the isolation plan at the moment.
It's isolation.
And that's why I was just going to say, with our the worship times, we feel it should lead towards outreach. It doesn't want to sit in a building, mm-hmm. right? And I think
there's
this phrase now, the church has left the building. When I say church, I mean, you know, sort of the whole spectrum, you know, including us. So later tonight, I'm going to set up in this amongst the nightclubs of Johnson City, Tennessee, start about 10 to about 2 or 3 in the morning. And that's where everyone is. It's packed with people. And we meet people that are, yeah, they're lonely, you know, they're needing a touch. And what has been shown really clearly is the darker the darkness, the easier the light can shine. So you think, oh, I've been in an environment where alcohol and, you know, immorality and drugs. Well, you don't have to do so much to shine the true light, because people are just like, wow, that's a surprise. You know, they're on a pilgrimage to sin, basically, mm-hmm. and they're encountering worship and offers to mm-hmm. for prayer. And it's like, whoa. So we've seen that a lot, that, you know, being in crazy situations like spring break in Fort Lauderdale, we didn't have to do so much. People were, obviously, then the kids there, they were on a, you know, like a pilgrimage to sin, but they'd see just some people worshiping. And
with a big Jesus t-shirt on.
Right? Oh, yeah. Well, that's what, you know.
That's what they know. I mean, you know, they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
If they're Yeshua, but.
Yeah, you know. But anyway, they would be convicted mm-hmm. in a good way. And some of their kids were coming up, God, you ruined our spring break. You know, you reminded us who we are. And it's like, okay, you know, so that all fits in with this age we're in, with isolating the people. It's backfiring, it's waking people up. You know, it's being, people are like starting to read, crack open the Bible, like, well, what does the Bible say about this? Or Revelation 19, the nations will be deceived by the pharmakia. Hello. So people are waking up, and the level of true awareness is increasing. So, and that's where I think it's really important to meet people to do outreach, to meet people in the parks, the beaches like Florida, whatever, the highways and byways, the marketplace. For them to encounter the truth, kind of just when they're not expecting it, mm-hmm. They're not going to knock on the door of a church, but hey, you know, it's time for us to take the land. And I think there's a huge blessing in that. And, you know, as I was sharing earlier, that you know, we want to follow his commands, right?
All of them.
Well, yeah, if you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And then I was saying earlier, what about the end of the book of Mark, the end of the book of Matthew? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation, you know, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and so forth. And so that's an important command that I really want to just emphasize to the Hebraic world. Hey, let's try that. And then I think what people realize is that we become those doing outreach and so forth, or just trying in some way, become the recipients of a major blessing, a very surprising blessing, that if people knew how much Yah was wanting to bless his people stepping out, then everyone would be doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It shouldn't be a secret, really. But, you know,
right. I worked in a prison for 23 years, and what I found in that environment is, dark as it was, you didn't have to be very happy to stand out. Mm. I mean, it was just basically 1,200 unhappy people. Mm. And if you walk in,
right,
and you're willing to walk in the spirit, mm-hmm. even though sometimes you have to do hard things, mm-hmm. but if you're ethical, according to biblical ethics, there is a light that's there. Even if you're doing something very mundane, the light can shine.
Yeah.
They can see a difference.
Right.
And I think it gives you a different heart. Like I said, even though you've got hard things to do, you realize this is a human being. This is somebody's son. This is somebody's father. This is someone's brother. And how would I want one of my relatives treated if he were in this situation? It didn't make you soft. It made you human. And you didn't have to say the word Yeshua or bring up the Bible or anything like that. In that degree of darkness, if you just live it in that way. There's some of our SUV friends probably looking for an empty parking lot to do donuts.
He says he's close to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, this is the best thing that can happen for a lot of people is to end up in jail. Because they'll find salvation.
Yeah. We've played in several prisons. Yeah, and what we have found is once they are born again or they know Yeshua, they're freer than people we know on the outside.
Yeah.
And they worship with their whole hearts. And, you know, if you're a visiting minister, they just come in and they want to worship and they don't get that many opportunities like that. And
they're grateful.
You know, it's amazing.
Well, gratefulness is so hard to find nowadays because we have so much. When you have so much, it's like Yeshua said, it's so hard for a rich man to enter because he has everything he needs in the physical realm. And so sometimes he doesn't really discern that there might be a spiritual poverty. Well, these guys know they're poor. And anything that anybody will do, volunteers coming in, you know, just to be a mentor. And to me, that's where that hell bug has done such a great job of breaking off the generations because there are opportunities for mentorship in places like that. But just running into kids sometimes, what I found is that because the parenting has maybe been less than enthusiastic, if you set a boundary, they like it. And a lot of times you can mentor young people by simply being a grown-up. You know, the scripture calls us to be grown-ups. What's the difference being a child and a grown-up? It's the degree of responsibility you will take for another person. And if you're willing to take that responsibility, you may not like me for the next 10 minutes because of what I'm about to say, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. And this could change your life if you just, you know, change this one little thing. And often just we have wrong thoughts. We think the wrong things. But if we're not willing to take those thoughts captive, because I think I feel I want, that is not from the realm of the spirit. That's from the realm of the soul.
And that's the prevailing, I'll say spirit, but that's the prevailing thought right now.
And people don't want you to tell them how to think.
Immediate gratification.
But I'm like, the scripture tells you how to think.
Yeah.
But that thought you're going to have to take captive or it's going to take you captive. That's the alternative. And there's some kids out there, not all of them, but a lot of them are ready for somebody just say the truth. Just tell me the truth because they don't like the anxiety.
There's no generation that's more anxiety prone, more depressed, more all this business, ADHD and all this kind of thing than this current generation. But I believe they are this the young people now, they're wired for revival to do amazing exploits and things that is going to just, they're going to be leaders. The Lord showed me recently, we baptized 2 15-year-olds on 2 different days. And we kind of prophesied over this girl. And we said, you know, you are a torch. You know, you are a torch for the Lord. And you are now lit. And I realize, you know, how people say, hey, I got really lit last night. Well, the enemy's trying to get, the enemy's trying to get, you know, the youth lit in terms of, you know, weed and alcohol and all sorts of stuff, right?
Other drugs.
But like, they are ready for the fire of Yahweh in such a way. And I believe it's our job. We've got the lighter, so to speak. It's our job to, and they're just going to be burning. I mean, look at Asbury Revival. all this is coming together now, but the enemy's obviously trying to take them out. And people say, oh, this, you know, these kids, they're so distracted, you know, and that, how can they be saved? Well, that's exactly what they said over the hippie generation, you know, like with the Jesus Revolution and so forth. They're like, oh, they're too far gone. But they're the perfect carriers of the fire, or were then. And this generation as well, they're just, this is going to be amazing. We're going to be cheering them on. They're going to run incredible, incredibly well. So that's really, yeah. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, you know, as the darkness gets darker,
yeah,
you know, it's easier to shine.
I think it has to be said too that, like, I won't say no other time in history, but no other time in recent history, here we are, we've all made this transition to keeping the commandments and the Sabbath and these things. So when someone gets born again or comes to the Lord on the streets, we don't have to send them somewhere else where they're going to learn a bunch of stuff. We have the truth. We can disciple them. We can grow them up in these things so that they never even have to go to a religious environment. I mean, you know, not that we're, everyone's got a little religious environment going on, but, you know, we're doing our best, and that, you know, we can disciple them straight off the bat if they've never been in a church or don't know anything about Christianity or the Bible.
Yeah.
In the ways, in the proper ways. And, you know, we don't want to send them somewhere else. We need to take, and that's the laying down of our lives. Are we going to take them on? Are we going to say, yes, okay, you four have just got born again. You're coming to my house every week for a Bible study, and you're going to learn how now should we live. And that's the scriptures. And that's not religion. That's what the Torah says and what the Bible says and what Yeshua said. So
yeah,
well, we have that opportunity. We have the spirit of Elijah. We could say, you know, and it says he's going to come forth before the great and terrible day. And
he's going to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, and vice versa. So
we have it. Not, I'm not saying we have it, but as believers and as people who are now walking this walk, we have it.
Yeah, and that breach, you know, if that bug has come to destroy the connection between the generations, it could actually turn out to be a good thing.
Yeah,
if we have a generation who are breaking off from parents because of a spiritual deficit in that previous generation, but that in turn is going to leave them, I believe, looking.
Yeah.
And it might be a spiritual mom and dad.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Because, you know, that's what Yeshua said. Who are my mother and brothers?
Yeah.
It's those who do the will of the one who sent me. And his food, you know, is to do the work. And so anybody who's willing to do the work of discipling the next generation, it can break off that connection, but it can reconnect. It can turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They can find out you've got a bloodline. Have got a bloodline.
Here's your true identity. Step into this is
something,
all go.
This is something especially for the Abraham generation right now, because, I mean, this is all, you know, shouting to me. I feel like it's the disconnect from the Father's love, which even exists in the church. A lot of believers, you know, they love Yeshua, Jesus, but they're not tapped into the Father's love through experiences through their own earthly father's failings. And no one had a perfect earthly father anyway. So this is the big missing piece, I think. So, and this should be even easier for the elder generation to be fathers, you see, to fill in and to sort of direct people to the Father's love and to minister that. And this is crucial. And I mean, I've just had this joy lately where just the Lord's been connecting me with some younger guys. And again, it's all like, wow, hear their story. And there's, I mean, they seem to be doing pretty well, but, you know, they had pretty bad upbringings, right? You know, abuse and so forth. And it's like, wow. So, you know, he's saying it's really clearly just to sort of minister the Father's love and to actually, you know, minister forgiveness and so forth. And so that, I believe that is a crucial thing. And it's obviously, this isn't a new message. You know, this is what Yeshua said his mission was, to restore us to the Father. So it's an interesting thing that most believers, most followers of Yeshua, they're very close with Yeshua, but they might have a disconnect with the Father, right? So that's really something huge. And when we can connect with ourselves, we can minister that love. And then it can do wonders around us. I mean, I've seen that just really recently, and he's reminding me how important that is. And to even stand in the gap for people's earthly fathers and, you know, and help them overcome some of those issues, and to not have the disconnect with the Heavenly Father because they didn't have a great earthly father, or maybe they never met their earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and not often that means God the Father is sort of mysterious and unattainable.
Yeah.
You know,
perhaps that's one of the greatest fruits of coming into this walk, is that we were all kind of Jesus people, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And through Tanakh, through the Torah, that we have gotten in touch with the Father. Mm-hmm. And there's a connect there. And so now we have something that we can offer to other,
mm-hmm.
other, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, coming out of the church or wherever we all came from, we were kind of all in the same boat, and we're all constantly looking for the connection to the Father.
Yeah.
And at some point you have to say, okay, I've got it, or, and we did, hey, we've come in contact with the Father. Now let's go out and be that. Whereas some people just spend all their time still waiting,
mm-hmm.
still waiting. And so each mm-hmm. generation misses out because we haven't turned and said, okay, I'll do it. I'll be it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll mm-hmm. do it. I'll be it.
Well, time is short. Yeah. And this also fits, this also fits with what you're saying about, you know, the enemy's plans to isolate people. Well,
yeah,
we see a lot of people in this walk,
orphans,
that they're, you know, maybe they've got a little home group, but the whole point is it's not supposed to be us four and no more. it's got to be, you know, this is where evangelism comes in, because to bring in new people and to sort of, I think revival is actually a lot closer than people realize, because a revival can just be like just somebody coming into your life and they're brand new, but you know, you led them to the Lord, or they're brand new and they bring that excitement and that joy in, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I've got all this to share with them, and they're on fire, they're excited. So that,
well, I've got a purpose, they've got a purpose. Yeah. And it's all starts to flow from one generation.
So I feel, you know, maybe this is for some people watching, that it's not about, like, you know, we were singing earlier, you know, Yeshua, come and take your throne, Bo Yeshua, Bo, you know, oh, we're counting, we're waiting, and all creation groans. But we're not in a waiting pattern here. I mean, well, in some ways we are, but we have to be actively changing the world, going out. And that will fill the gap in a lot of people's lives, that they're not feeling the fellowship. Because in this walk, it's very, we call it a DIY movement. You've got to be gathering people. You can't just wait for it to happen. And you've got to be trying to gather the people together from, you know, far and wide, and putting things on. So that's been a blessing for us over the years, that we're thinking that way. And we want to share in the churches. You know, we use the music and the invites to minister in you know, just mainstream congregations. And we're like, you know, they invite us and we're like, oh, can we share something? Can we teach? And oh, have the whole meeting, right? And we can go for it then, and in a simple way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing, that we should all be able to share, like, on a basic level. And then that releases something amazing. And nothing, you know, nothing crazy complicated, but the basics, as it were. So
yeah.
And I think the praise and the worship really is a key, because he quoted the Beatles, I'll quote Tom Petty. He said, you don't have to live like a refugee. But in a lot of these Hebrew roots circles, that's the perception you get, is that we're living like refugees, as though the world is going to end tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And when the younger generation hears that message, that we're all going to be, you know, it depends on, you know, I guess what you think is going to happen when Yeshua comes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's almost like, throw up your hands, just hunker down and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because things are going to get horrible. And, you know, then there's going to be a resurrection. And so we got a lot of, especially the teen level, where they're hearing the despair of their generation. Exactly. And this generation, they have more than any other, probably in the last 2,000 years, in terms of the word, the truth. But they've taken that truth and said, well, because I came to a knowledge of the Torah, this must be the last generation.
Mm.
And so there's not really, you don't see the hope being poured into the next generation, and the understanding that you've got to take our place. Mm-hmm. It's Yeshua came onto the scene planning his exit. And that's, I mean, mm-hmm. we should all be that way. We should mm-hmm. all be planning our exit and saying, who can I plant this mm-hmm. in?
Right.
And they're not going to be a carbon copy of me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But mm-hmm. they'll take whatever I can pass on to them that they're willing to accept. And then they have to stand up in their generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think they're just kind of throwing up their hands like, you know.
Why bother?
Right. Yeah. We're all going to die.
That's not an appealing. That's not an appealing message for the youth, because they're like, well, if you're 70 and you're saying that, that's one thing. But if you're sort of 15, you're going, well, I guess, you know, I mean, I wanted to do this. I wanted to.
I know.
You know, so well, we've noticed.
We've had a big revelation on that. It's, you know, we were kind of taught in the church that when Yeshua comes back, or Jesus comes back, that's the end of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he comes back, we go flying off to wherever it is, and that's the end of everything. But it's the beginning of everything. And there's 1,000 years that we get to still function and fulfill visions.
Yeah.
So it just kind of opens up. So we try and, you know, oh, it's not just this 50 years or the 60 years or 70 years or 20 years if he comes back soon. It's not over then. You still mm-hmm. can fulfill. And if you'll serve him now, you're going to have so much opportunity mm-hmm. in the millennium to be doing amazing things for him.
Yeah.
So it's not over.
Yeah.
You know, don't give up your plans. Yeah. It's just, we're just switching scenes, you know.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to do good stuff.
And the rewards are here. That's you
know?
The thing.
Even as old people, you think, oh, well, I didn't get to do this. And I didn't, you know, I had this dream and it never happened. Well, hey, even if you pass now and you're resurrected, it can happen in the next millennium. Yeah. You just don't know.
But, you know, there's enjoyment. I think the Father wants us to have. Now sometimes I can get so immersed in just taking care of the ministry. I thought retirement was going to be easy, but as it turns out, you're more busy, because it's like the more you do, the more people want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it just, like, when's the last time I had a vacation that wasn't ministry oriented? I went to Hawaii twice, didn't see a thing. I don't remember really anything about it but the teaching. And I'm like, I don't think that's his will, because I think he put us on this earth to balance out enjoying mm-hmm. the good things. So we shouldn't live like a refugee, but we shouldn't worship those things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to be in balance. But if our kids see us living like refugees, like, let's just batten down the hatches and wait until right. Yeshua comes, yeah. like, well, where's the hope?
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm so glad you're reaching out to that generation to say, hey, you know, you're resume building right now, because there's a whole 1,000 years you're preparing.
Yeah.
And you'll be preparing for something.
Yeah.
And you'll either go in prepared or unprepared.
Yeah. So you think about it. So there's some amazing evangelists right now who are currently like drug dealers, you know, but they need to hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
And what's changing is, I mean, I come from a nation that sadly is kind of like what we call a post-Christian nation now. You don't hear the gospel. I never heard the gospel in my life. I mean, Yeshua had to appear in my life just like by surprise. Miraculously. Like happens to Muslims, right? No, really. And I mean, here you still...
wasn't a Muslim.
No. But I mean, I was almost everything else. But I mean, you know, and that's changing here, you know, with all this sort of like, you know, the cultural shift. So people don't necessarily know, they haven't necessarily heard. And that's the power of it. I mean, I never heard the gospel. And so I want to tell people, because we can't always expect them to you know, haven't necessarily made a decision because they didn't know what was an offer. And the young people now, like, you know, they're yearning for something, they're searching for something, and the rise in, say, the rise in New Age is just enormous, because they're searching, you see. And obviously they're going down the wrong path, but at least they're searching.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But apparently, you know, New Age, witchcraft and everything is on this enormous, like, increase in interest, because people are looking for the supernatural. They're looking for something mm-hmm. beyond the physical. And we have the answers. And as someone who, you know, I got really, so well, you know, I was in that New Age scene to the max. And you know, obviously you're getting more and more demonized when you go into it, but you don't realize it. That's the whole point. But I can't blame anyone that's in that, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, and if I meet anyone who's really into that, I just say, hey, do you know who you really serve? Do you know who you really serve?
Sounds like Bob Dylan song. Hey, you're gonna quote well, some, you're gonna quote some lyrics, so I gotta get mine in there. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Well, that song was actually helped me get born again, believe it or not. There's a whole nother story, because you know, I thought the Lord spoke to me through that song, played
true.
By someone that wasn't necessarily even a believer. It was amazing. But that's the thing, it's ramping up, but I'm really joyful and excited, and I think this is the time, this is an amazing time to be alive, and it isn't doom and gloom, and there is just incredible things going on, and heaven is about to come to earth. You know, Yeshua is about to
look
return. I mean, this is glorious.
Kingdom is coming.
We are born for this time, and the rewards that we're going to have for eternity are sort of like, we have to earn them now, and we have to really like not be swayed by the culture, not be fearful, not even be swayed by, because you look at when you were saying about, oh, some people are just like totally isolating themselves and hunkering down, well then you're a cult, really. And it's scary, because you
definitely are on a slippery slope in that direction.
It's a pretty scary scenario. And now's not the time to be isolating. I mean, if the Father says, you know, go to the middle of nowhere, then do it. But I believe now's the time to be connecting with the people, and because, you know, the people, that's where the people are the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way, like, this earth is gonna pass away, but hopefully, you know, the people are gonna be with him for eternity. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? That, you know.
Yeah, I always like to cite Corrie ten Boom. You know, what if she had run off? What if she had left her house and went out, hunkered down somewhere in the countryside, and didn't do all the things that she, you know, she ended up at a camp with her sister, and they suffered greatly, mm-hmm. but she got released, and then she testified, and she ministered the gospel for how many years after
in
that?
Germany,
what if it's your destiny to stay in the city and not hide, and to do amazing exploits?
Mm.
What if that's your destiny?
No.
I don't want to go to a camp, but if that's what happens, that's where we are. And he'll give us the power. I mean, he's definitely empowering. And if we don't give him a chance to empower us, then.
So how does this start? Know, because it's not like, it might sound really daunting, but I want to say to anyone that's watching this, how does this start? Well, maybe it's offering to pray for someone in Walmart. When he illuminates that person, you know, and it's like, go and talk to them. And often we go, oh, you know, find excuses, don't we? But go and talk to that person, minister to them, you know, ask them, hey, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you feel the Holy Spirit? Can I pray for you? That is the work right there. And it's accessible to everyone. And we know that it's, he speaks to us to do that, and it's so easy to kind of, yeah. Oh, you know, maybe someone else kind of will do it. And
it's really, we're all longing for community. We're all longing to be a part of the that's every soul longs to be a part of something. And why not bring them into this family?
Mm. Why not?
They're gonna go into some other family. They're gonna find some other sense of community, you know, where they're accepted and all that. Why not? Why not? Love.
Well, I know you guys have got to get over towards Johnson City today.
Yeah, we got to drive back.
Do you have time to do maybe a couple songs for us? Unplugged?
Sure.
A guitar or something?
Yeah, okay.
I'll get out of the way here.
Yeah, we could talk all day. We could play all day too once we get rolling, but
that would be
we've
fine.
Already done that this morning.
Yeah.
Okay. We could dub in our CD.
We'll have to go to Mishkanim on YouTube or website.
Mishkanim on YouTube.
Or the website, MISHKAN.
Well, we probably looked happy anyway.
Let me see. How about now?
Well, thanks for letting us.
I'm Persian on my father's side. The family is not a
Exactly.
Yeah, that
I noticed that when you were doing the liturgy. She's got that nice little got those scales down.
Yeah, I was very impressed actually.
Sound like Bhatia Sigal, actually. Similar tone in your voice.
Yeah. And
getting all the nice little doodles. Those doodles down.
Yeah.
I wish there were more Mizrahi music.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're doing our best to do a bit of that, you know. Boom, boom,
yeah, not so much polka music.
Yeah, right. Well,
that's the Eastern European, you know, Jewish flair as opposed to the.
I've got a black swamp tambourine that I practice on a little bit. Uh-huh. But there's not much music out there with that same rhythm.
Exactly. Yeah, we're working on it. You know, we're trying to bring out those rhythms because they're just amazing. Like you were saying earlier, then it's just. It's not. It's got to be different music expressions.
It's going to be music from all over the world.
Yeah.
Hey, but if you learn it, you'll get all kinds of invitations to Persian weddings to do the Persian knife dance.
Oh, wow.
As opposed to having a gila.
Oh, yeah.
Well, blessings, yeah. All right. Thanks so much. I'm going to wrap it up with these guys. Thank you for tuning in. And thanks to our guests here. I know they got to move on. And I just appreciate them taking an extra hour here to sit with us and fellowship and talk about the next generation and how we don't despair. You know, we are here to connect with the next generation.
Absolutely.
And remember that Tower of David with 1,000 shields, that's the shields of 1,000 generations. And so don't you stop praying for your kids and don't you stop praying for your grandchildren. What does it say in the Song of Songs? Not one of them is missing. So we're not giving up. We're not giving up. We're going to hang in there. We're going to connect with that next generation. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you back next Shabbat. And then we'll see what we can do to connect you with our Rosh Hashanah service. We'll see what the logistics of that might be and check into it. But make sure that's marked on your calendar so you have something you're attending. And we love you guys. Thank you. See you next time.
Shalom.
There we go.
Thank you for exploring the Torah portion with us. For more information on this ministry, go to thecreationgospel.com. You can find links there for our newsletter, books, workbooks, Facebook, and our YouTube channel.